after a salutation to the church at Rome, first major division. The wrath of God has been revealed. Not against them only, and not only against you, against all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wrath of God has been revealed. But now, the righteousness of God has been made manifest. A new day has dawned in the economy of God's cosmic plan for the world. Righteousness has been made manifest. The righteousness of God. Notice the contrast. Wrath of God, the righteousness of God. The then, but now, new day, new opportunities, wrath, righteousness, then, now. If we were in a black church this morning, the question would become, can I get a witness to this? Can I get a witness to from wrath to righteousness, from the old to the new? Well, Paul's anticipating this. The church at Rome is asking, anybody ever lived this way? Paul, this sounds great, but can we get a witness? And so chapter 4 comes upon the scene. I would expect that if we're going to have a witness to the change from the old, but now the new, I would expect someone in the new, someone in the now would be our witness. Maybe even Saul of Tarsus, who's now the Apostle Paul, and how this has worked out in his own life. But look at Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say about Abraham, our forefather? The gospel of God. Romans chapter 1. The gospel of God, witnessed by our prophets in the Old Testament, person-centered, Christ-centered about Jesus Christ. It's the old, old story, which tells us that in the heart and mind of God, this was the plan from the very beginning. But it is the original way of God's people. Father Abraham lived this way. From the old to the new, from wrath to now righteousness of God. And Abraham is Paul's example of how to live that way. I would expect someone from the now age. Someone from the new. He goes back to Father Abraham. When he does this, when Paul does this, he is anticipating that the people at Rome have some understanding and familiarity with the Abrahamic narrative. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12 and just sort of get a running start into what Paul is anticipating that the people know in Rome. Genesis chapter 12. This is the beginning of the Abrahamic narrative, and it begins with a cloud covering it. It begins with a sort of foreboding. It begins with a feeling of uneasiness. Because look at chapter 11, verse 30. A reference to Abram's wife. Sarah was barren. She had no children. Barrenness, particularly in the ancient Near East world, was seen as disfavor upon the family. There were no offspring. There was no future. There was no hope. Abram and his wife Sarah. Whatever be the Abrahamic story, and however he becomes the example of what it means to live in the now, it starts with a cloud over it because she is barren. They have no children. Let's look at chapter 12. We're going to read the first three verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house. Go forth, go forth, go forth, and go to the land which I will show you. The voice of the Lord to Abram commands, go, 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 go. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation. If you were here last evening, I made reference to the promises that Paul referenced when he talked about having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The promises. Well, God is a God of promises from the very first day. And the structure of these promises in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I will receive you. I will welcome you. I will be a father to you. The I will. It's as old as Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Chapter 12, verse 2. I, strong Hebrew, I, surely I, will make you a great nation. I, surely I, will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3. I, surely I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Verses 2 and 3 are promises. Commands, verse 1, go, 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 go. Verse 2 and 3, the promises. I, surely I will. I, surely I will. Go back and look at verse 2. I'll make you a great nation. It means numerical strength. Vast numbers. And in the Abrahamic narratives, we're going to see Abram go out and count the stars. If you can count them, so shall your descendants be. This is coming to a man who is 75 years old. His wife is 65. She is barren. They have no children. But I will make you a great nation. Numerical numbers. I, surely I, will bless you. I've called you to leave family, home, all that's familiar, to just start out on a journey with me, not knowing where you're going, not knowing what's going to come to pass. But you won't be in poverty. You won't be in want Surely I will bless you. I will make your name great. In fact, Abraham, all of those around will recognize you and what your God is doing through you. And you will have a reputation, and you will be known. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is the word of the Lord to Abram. And I suggest to you that chapter 12, verse 4, is one of the most amazing verses in the entire Bible. This voice confronts Abram, commands him to leave all of the known and start on the unknown. Has been encouraged with these, surely I will bless you promises. And chapter 12, verse 4 says, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. I find that amazing. This voice confronts him and tells him to go. But surely I will be with you. And this man follows the commands, grabs hold of the promises, and went forth. We call that faith. We call that walking by faith. Now, three quick comments to indicate this is a step of faith on Abram's part. Number one, he has no earthly example to follow. He is out here on his own. Go, go, go. No earthly example to follow. Number two, he has grabbed hold of the promises of God. Surely I will make you a great nation. And they are humanly impossible. I can't even have a son. Sarah is barren. We have no children. A great nation? But somehow, that begins to generate faith and hope and belief in this man. Faith. Third reason that it's faith. No earthly example to follow. Humanly impossible for the promises to be achieved. But number three, even if it was possible to have an offspring, I'm not going to live long enough to see a great nation. I'm not going to be long enough to see all the families of the earth blessed through my life. I'm not going to live that long. In fact, about 70 offspring of Abraham are the ones who finally go down to Egypt in Joseph's day. Not a great nation. 70. But he has caught hold of the promises of God by faith. And so Abram really is our example of faith. Now, Paul is saying we live in the now. But now, the righteousness of God has been made manifest. But even in the distant past, this was being lived out by people like Abram. Faith. It has always been God's plan. It has always been God's way. It has always been God's intention that we walk by faith. And what shall we say about our father Abraham? Paul raises the question in Romans chapter 4. He's a man of faith. Go back. Now go back to Romans chapter 4. Why is this so important to underline Abram as a person of faith? What shall we say? Chapter 4, verse 1. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. So now we come to Abraham and rightness. Our English word is justification. Rightness. Remember, back in chapter 3, God, through his righteous activity, was going to be the right and the writer of those who put faith in him. The just and the justifier. So if Abraham was in right standing, if he had a sense of rightness by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. So what does Scripture say? And here is a quote from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is a quote from the Abrahamic story, Genesis chapter 15. Very quickly, Abram has just returned from doing battle against the five city kings because Lot was carried off in a battle dispute as a prisoner of war. And Lot and Abram and his men went and rescued nephew Lot and the rest of the prisoners as well and brought them back home. He is met by two kings, king of Salem, Melchizedek, and the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom says this: give me back my people. You keep the goods for yourself, the spoils of war. Chapter 14. Abram says, nope, I don't want a thing. Lest you say, we have made Abraham rich. If somewhere down the road, Abram is known as a prosperous man, king of Sodom and his citizens are going to say, yeah, but we know how he got his money. He didn't really earn it. He took it from us, the spoils of war. Abram says, I have caught hold of a promise. I will bless you. I don't want a thing from you, lest you say, we have prospered you. That's a strong statement of faith. But now we come to chapter 15 in Genesis. And God says to Abram, you've turned your back on the spoils of war. I am your exceeding great reward. And I can see Abraham just sort of wincing with pain. Oh, God, you put your finger on the raw nerve of my life. Offspring. Inheritance. I don't have any. I keep believing. But by chapter 15, no offspring. In fact, if I should die, a servant boy by the name of Eliezer, born in my house, would be my descendant. Everything I have would go to him. That's part of the ancient inheritance adoption rule found in the Nuzi, N-U-Z-I, tablets. The Nuzi tablets. You see, barrenness is not just something unusual with Abraham. The ancient Near East world had that issue. And they had found a way to overcome the problem. You have a servant, lives in your house, and into that servant's family is born a son. You owned a servant. You really own this. It's as good as yours. You can adopt him. And if needs be, the family lineage can pass through an Eliezer of Damascus. God said, no. Eliezer of Damascus is not your descendant. One born from your own body shall be your son. And then God takes him outside. One of those starlit nights in Palestine says, look up the sky. Count the stars if you can. So shall your descendants be. Now we have the quote, Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Abram believed God. It's not Eliezer of Damascus. My hope is not found in the Nuzi tablets. My hope is not found in following the custom of the ancient Near East world. My hope is not found in some human artificial way to make life seem almost as if it was normal. But we all know, wink, wink, it's not. Yeah, I'll pass Eliezer off as my son, but wink, wink, we know he's not. My mother died when I was 8 years old of cancer. 4 years later, a stepmother came into my family, my home. I've always had a great affinity for stepmothers. It's a difficult job. It's a difficult place to be put in. Well, I'm now a high school student working my way through Kroger's as a student, doing whatever they asked me to do. And my mother, who was a city health nurse in our town, walks in with another nurse. So I walk over and say, hi, Mom. And my stepmother turned to her worker friend and said, I'm not really his mom. I'm his stepmother. But he calls me Mom. Wink, wink. Right? Hi, Mom. But not really my biological mother. Eliezer of Damascus. He could be my son. And the ancient Near East world would say, yeah, we can make that work. Wink, wink. Life can go on. But God says, go out and count the stars of the sky, so shall your descendants be. One from your own body will be your son. And Abram believed the Lord. That's faith. Abram believed. And do you notice what the scripture says? It was reckoned. It was credited to him as rightness, right standing, righteousness, accredited, reckoned. Those are accounting terms in the ledger book of life. You move from one side of the ledger to the other side of the ledger. And this belief on Abram's part was credited, accounted, reckoned as right standing. In the ledger book of life, from one side to the other, from the debit side to the credit side, from the wrath side to the righteousness of God's side, from the old to the new, from the works of law to the faith side. Abram believed, and God moved him onto the right side of the ledger. Abram believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And Paul says, it's nothing he did. He has nothing to boast about. It was nothing of works that he did. He simply believed. Now, look at verse 9. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? Now we're back to, again, Genesis 15:6. Faith was credited to Abraham as right standing. And so here's the question. Here's the question. Was this Abram, the circumcised Jew? Or was this Abram, uncircumcised? Turn to chapter 17, Genesis. Surprise, surprise to the Jewish people in the church at Rome. Chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. Now, just to keep us all together, he believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness in chapter 15. Now, we're to chapter 17. Verse 9, God said further to Abraham, "Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after me. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you." And you. Abram believed Genesis 15:6, and God reckoned it as righteousness. But let's fill in the whole detail. Abram the Gentile believed. Abram the Gentile. Abram the uncircumcised one believed, and God took note of it and moved it to the right side of the ledger. And every Jewish member of the Church of God at Rome, as they heard this, looked at each other and said, "What? Uncircumcised people can move the heart of God because of faith in him and be moved from one side of the ledger to the other? Uncircumcised people?" And Paul was shaking his head. "Yep, that's true. Jewish people, your national hero, Abraham, your forefather, the one that you look to for spiritual guidance and all sorts, he was a Gentile when he believed. And God took note of it and moved him to the positive side of the ledger. Why? So that God can be God of both the circumcised and the uncircumcised. So he can be the father of us all. Now we need Lazarus, red and yellow, black and white, circumcised and uncircumcised. We're all precious in his sight. Abraham is exhibit A to prove this very point. What shall we say of our father Abraham? Well, there is much Paul tells us in this fourth chapter of Romans. But there's one more example. There's one more example. I want to read a couple verses in Romans 4, and then we're back to Genesis 17. But first, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. A quote from Genesis 17, verse 5. A father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed. He, Abraham, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Genesis 15:5. Look at verse 19. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, who was 90. Now, this is not children's service. This is adult Bible study. Abraham is impotent. Sarah's womb is dead. And he's out building a nursery. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Let's go back to Genesis 17 to see what God promised. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. By chapter 17, Abraham knows I can father a child. His name is Ishmael. Hagar, the Egyptian handmaiden. But Sarah's womb is barren. I'm 99. Sarah's 89. But look at verse 15 again. Another one of those promises. Surely I will bless her, and indeed I will. Everybody in your English translation have give. I will give you a son by her. The promised child, Isaac, is a child of promise, is a gift. We call that grace. A gift. Why? Well, not to just run this into the ground, but a year from now, Abram's impotent and Sarah, her womb is still dead. So if a child is going to be born into this family, it will be a gracious gift. For by grace are you saved, through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're on the right side of the ledger now. We're on the faith side. We're on the belief side. We're on the gift side. We're on the grace side. And Abraham is exhibit A to demonstrate all of this. Not only to the church of God at Rome, but to all Christian believers. Well, let's look at verse 16 again. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then surely I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed. Now one or two things are going to happen. A bolt of lightning is going to come out and turn Abram into a pillar of salt. Or God is going to clap his hands and say, happy day, happy day. This is worth laughing and celebrating about. This is not a laugh of scorn. This is not a laugh of unbelief. This is not a laugh of, I don't believe this is going to happen. This is a laugh of celebration. Have you ever in your life wanted something, prayed for something, tried to maneuver something, tried to bring it about, only to see how simply, when God begins to move, He can bring it about. It's laughable how easy God can accomplish His purpose. I'll just give you a son. Do you know how many sex manuals Abraham and Sarah read? How many therapy classes they went to? How many doctors they probably checked out? Do you know how many discussions they had? Particularly after Ishmael was born. Sarah, what is wrong with you? Sarah, you need to get on with the program. Sarah, this is really your problem, you know. And then all of a sudden, his body is dead. Her womb is dead. And God says, I will give you the promised child. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Can anybody get a witness to this? From wrath to right standing. From works of law to the law of faith. From old to new. From work, 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 work to receiving a gift. From feeling negative, down, defeated, sorrowful, to happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. And he laughed. the life of faith.